But the great man John Doherty has joined us on the line. It's a fair nickname, isn't it? Joe Cool. Yeah. And it pretty much exemplified the way that he played the game of rugby league. Mm-hmm. Outstanding career across an incredible amount of time.
Yeah, I didn't realise it went that long.
Yeah, you forget about the North Sydney stint, don't
I remember
you?
1 year, I didn't realise it was three.
Yeah, the 3 years, yeah. 3 years at the Bears, including representation in a country origin side in 1988, which was 16 seasons after he was first picked in that side. It's our pleasure to welcome to the program John Doherty. G'day, John.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah,
morning,
really well. Well, we usually like to start about, you know, how do you start playing the sport that you excelled in? And that's just incredible to have representation in strong sides in 1972 and then 1988. You think about it now, it's you got to pinch yourself.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I was blessed, to have some ability at rugby league and to be in the teams that I was and to have the coaches that I was under. And then, as you say, to go from 72 to 88 in rep teams, then it was fabulous. Certainly some highlights of my life.
Yeah, John, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Great pleasure to have you on the show. Can I ask you, who did give you that nickname, Joe Cool?
It came from when I was at Western Suburbs Magpies. And two guys, actually. Johnny Baker, who was at went to Parramatta after 74, and then and Jeff Foster, the other guy who had played with in the back row. And I guess it was all off the returns of the football from fullback. You know, the opposition would kick it down. I'd supposedly nonchalantly get across to the ball and then head back upfield. Yeah. And they'd tell me that I had a longer gait than my size, running gait than my size indicated. And it looked as though I was going really slow, but in fact, I was heading up the field pretty quick.
That languid style, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Loved it.
How'd you get into rugby league, John? Mm. Was it a family trait?
No, it wasn't. I had mates who played football or soccer when I was young, and it was either that or at school. And I was the first of a kindergarten class at St. Pius X School in Unanderra, which was only across the road from me, near Western Suburbs Leagues Club. And so I played in the under-4 zones, I think it was, back in those days. And I played for the school right up till year 6, as they call it today. And then I started my career with Western Suburbs Rugby League in the junior competition. Mm. So that was how it all began.
Well, Jimmy mentioned earlier country origin selection 16 years apart. 1972, you were still playing for West Wollongong at the time, but selected for country origin up against obviously what was then a terrific City team. What was it like for a young kid coming through the ranks and coming up against your heroes, I guess, in that City game?
Oh, look, you know what? I still can picture it today, actually, as though it was almost yesterday, that the country team ran out first and we were stood on the Sydney Cricket Ground pitch and we watched the City side come out, and honestly, they were, naturally enough, dressed in their gold shirts with the blue Vs, and they looked like demigods. Yeah. Obviously, they looked huge, and Mark Harris looked like he was an absolute monster. and certainly, they played like it too, but we scored first off a fantastic move that was put in place. You don't see it too often these days because the defensive structures are much stronger today than what they were then. But then, so that was the start of it all. And then to finish in a country origin match with Warren Ryan as coach really topped off my career in Sydney.
John Doherty got a try in that game. Mark Harris got 4. just looking at the names, Langlands, jeez. Mark Harris, Bill Mullins, Tom Radonikis,
Jeff Starling was there.
Bob McCarthy, Gary Stevens, Bob O'Reilly, Elwin Walters,
Paul Sait.
There's some legends.
Oh, now the other interesting thing, John, is that you decided to go to England before making your way to Sydney. What prompted that? I think you had a couple of years or a year with Lee.
No, I only had a couple of months actually.
Oh, okay.
How that came about was my uncle, who married my father's sister. I was an Englishman from Lancashire, and he had a really good mate by the name of Dave Cox, who was coach at that time of Dewsbury, I think it was. And Dave coached Dewsbury in Castleford and other nationalities teams, rep teams as well. And so my Uncle Bill Beadles contacted Dave. So look, hey, John's missed out on the Australian Kangaroo team. Was there any chance of getting him a run over there? And I didn't know any of this until it actually, Dave said, oh yeah, sure, I can get him a gig over here. And he spoke to a guy called Jack Hilton, who was the chairman of Lee at the time, mm-hmm. and they invited me to come across. And so actually both my cousin Tony, who played for Collegians in Wollongong, and I, as workmates, went across. And we had a good time there. And my first team game happened to be against Hull Kingston Rovers, playing against Alan Fitzgibbon and Bobby Smithies. And Roger Millward, and, you know.
All the old Wollongong connection, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, the 74 Western Suburbs Magpies, as they were known back then, enticed you to Sydney. Was that the club of choice for you, John, at the time?
I had the opportunity when I was at St. Paul's College, Bulambi, at the end of 71 to sign with Balmain Tigers, with Kevin Humphreys, to go 72. But I was still a quiet country kid, I've got to say. Then I had an opportunity after being coached by Tony Paskins in the Illawarra team to go to East in 73. I just thought it was right after the couple of seasons in first grade in Wollongong to then try my hand at Sydney, and Don Parrish was the coach at West. And it felt like a natural fit. Shane Day had gone there, who was our hooker at West in Illawarra, had gone there, and he spoke highly of it. So, I ended up being at the Magpies.
One of these guys who played for Australia before you played for New South Wales, July 15th, 1978, at the old Lang Park, you play fullback for Australia in a game against New Zealand that you win 38-7. Do you remember that day, John? And if so, what are the overwhelming memories?
The biggest memories I have of then was receiving the phone call to say that Graham Eady was injured and unable to play, and would I be interested in taking it up, and actually enough I did.
Yes,
it was on a short plane flight and shortened training, of course, under Frank Stanton. Just the opportunity to be handed an Australian jersey, to put it on and to play with, you know, the likes of Tommy in the rep team and Rod Reddy and these guys and Arthur Beetson was something that I certainly still hold in awe of rugby league opportunities.
It was a decent back line, joining that test team. Oliphant was the half back. Then Bozo was the 5-8. Cronin and Rogers, one of the great centre pairings. Yeah. Bosted and Glover on the wings, and yourself at fullback. It's a fair back line.
Yeah. Look, the rugby league in Australia has been blessed with some very, very fine players, and you know, right through to today, of course, and that's why it's, you know, so strong as it is in international rugby league, that it's has the talent that's come through, and the selectors and the coaches have identified that talent to play. And those guys who do play in those teams, I know, are all extremely proud of having the opportunity to play.
Yeah.
And plenty of us believe, well, you know, we probably, there could have been other players that have gone in our place, but, you know, we're very fortunate to have been selected.
John, you did the unthinkable. At the end of 1979, you went from the Western Suburbs Magpies, the Fibros, over to the Silvertails at Manly. I always remember Roy Masters, who was your coach there at West at the time, and you'd had some success at West. You were a really good side, perennial semi-finalist at that time. But he reckons at the warm-up lap, there was always John Dorahy, Ray Brown and Les Boyd at the back of the lap talking about, well, who's getting, what are you getting from them? What am I getting? Any truth in that, John?
We were making sure that no one was talking out of school and the whole thing. It was very quiet, hush-hush opportunity. And the three of us actually had been asked to go along to Colin Love's office in Macquarie Street for a chat with Arco, and which we did. And the offers were put on the table in front of the three of us. So we all knew exactly what we were receiving. But, yeah, it was one of, you know, oh, what's happening? Has anyone said anything? Do you know anything?
Yeah.
All this type of thing. So, yeah, the folklore is accurate, you know, to a point. But Roy's a very good storyteller too.
John, did you enjoy those two seasons at Manly? And I say that because it was a couple of seasons where you had some injury problems as well.
Yeah, I was selected in the City first team to play against Country first in 1980. And unfortunately, I injured my neck on that particular day. And I guess I was, if anything, I was dirtier for the fact that it looked like I had an opportunity to play in that original Origin game. Oh, yeah. So I missed out there. But anyway, there was some fabulous players in that team and in that club. And we had Alan Thompson got us to sale as from Newcastle as a coach. And then Ray, gone blank, who was our coach in 81. And, yeah, I had...
Ray Ritchie,
yeah. Had my neck in the early part of the season. Then towards the back end, I injured my knee. Mm. And so I was out for most of that season. Then I came back and played the rest of 81. But then Chris Close was available, and Arco was talking to him, and there was an opportunity through Bob Millward to come back to Illawarra as their first captain, and there was nothing like that opportunity would ever come again. So, yeah, I took that over the opportunity to play with the quality players of at Manly to be the original captain. So
of the Steelers, fantastic. Yeah.
Mm. Now, we want to talk about this English Super League game that's coming up. It's the Wigan Warriors up against Hull FC. It's going to be played at Wind Stadium at Wollongong on the 10th of February. The first time ever there's been a game outside of there. But let's talk about your coaching over at Wigan. Incredibly, you won everything that was on offer. You won the Challenge Cup. You won the Premiership. And yet you were asked to leave that year. How on earth did that happen, John?
Oh, look, the politics of rugby league is amazing. In my opinion, it's worse than the politics out there in state government and federal government, as we're currently watching.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter whether it's in club or rep areas as well. But at Wigan, we had the best time. England was fantastic for myself as a player, as a coach, the whole thing. Very successful in the time that I spent there. Wigan was very different. I had come from Newcastle as an assistant coach to David Waite, where I was still learning. But a mate of mine phoned up and said, "Oh, mate, the Wigan job's up for grabs." And I said, "Well, don't be stupid. I won't get that." Anyway, for whatever reason, I phoned up Maurice Lindsay and asked him. And he said, "Oh, look, John, I'm no longer involved in Wigan Rugby League." He said, "You'll have to contact Jack Robinson." So I did, and for whatever reason, it wasn't anything he said or wasn't how he said it, whatever. But at that particular moment, I thought, gee whiz, I reckon I'm a chance of getting this. And so I put my application in, and lo and behold, I was very fortunate to go to an interview over there and informed by Jack Robinson on the Friday after the Wednesday meeting that, I was the one selected.
Wow. And
so beyond that, look, there was some internal politics that was being played out between the current board at the time and Dave Whelan, who ended up being the owner of the club. And there were some sides taken with players and other coaching staff and things like that, which was really hard to, as a first-time, first team or club coach, to get my head around. And then ultimately, and this is a good example, I was invited by Dave Whelan to go and watch England play Holland in a World Cup qualifier in Rotterdam on a Wednesday night, and I had permission from Jack Robinson to go. And we're flying across the English Channel in his plane from Blackpool, and he says to me, "Well, Johnny, sir, I don't think you should have been chosen as coach." And I said, "What is that?" And he says, "Well, you don't have high enough profile." And I thought, my God, is that all you're worried about, profile? And I said, "Well, look, I believe I have. I've played and coached here in England." I said, as a second team, second division coach at Halifax, we played against Wigan in the Regal Trophy final, and although we were beaten, we went fairly well. And then ultimately what occurred was we'd had a couple of losses through the challenge, or not through the Challenge Cup, but through the championship period in the early part of 94. And it was putting us under pressure to win the championship, or the minor premiership, as we call it here. And so the board had a chat, and they said, Jack Robinson came around to me after training one time and, and this other pressure that was outside of the board itself that was coming from Dave Whelan's camp. Jack came home after we'd finished training one night and said, look, John, it's like this. To cut this story short. It's either you, lad, or it's me. He said, I'm the chairman, so it's you.
It's ruthless business, John, isn't it?
Oh, ruthless. Yeah, and look, and there is some lies that have been told about it all. Jack Robinson and I have never had a fight. And we're still good friends. And you know, I just saw, oh, mate, look, that's the case. That's the case. You know, I can't wear that. I had a three-year agreement. They paid out most of it, but, you know, that wasn't the thing. It left certainly a sour taste on me being able to get another gig. But I did go back to Warrington and after that, and yeah, I enjoyed that. But I thought, well, that's it for me. I'm coming home, and enough's enough. So
fair enough.
Well, the cut and thrust of rugby league set you up nicely to be a councillor at Wollongong City Council, no doubt, John, which is a role that I know you enjoy.
That's easy, Rick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, but I've enjoyed it. It's been a great life so far, and it's been a bit longer. But, good memories of rugby league.
Absolutely. That's
for sure. Great people in the game, and, you know, certainly there's some challenges right there at the moment that, if I may put out there, I just hope that the rugby league really does put the competition back into the game itself at both to play the ball and in scrums. I think they're diabolical.
A lot of people singing your song there, John. Yeah, they'd love to see that.
I think you're alone in that. Wynn Stadium, Wollongong, Saturday the 10th of February. It's Wigan versus Hull. That's a historic game. And then their two clubs are going to feature in an international doubleheader at ANZ Stadium a week later. St George Illawarra taking on Hull FC, followed by South Sydney Rabbitohs up against the Wigan Warriors.
You know what? All I will say to people is, and my first experience back in Lee in 73, and then certainly through Hull KR and Halifax and Wigan and Warrington, the Australian supporters want to get along and watch and just be a part of these experiences, because the support that's coming from England, and I know being a part of this opportunity, that there's over 5,000 at this stage.
Yes.
That 5,000 will sound like 20,000.
Yes.
Like a barmy army.
The singing and the chanting that goes on both before the game and through the game is unbelievable. And people will go away absolutely astounded.
Great experience.
Where is our game?
No, you're spot on, John. It's been great chatting to you. We do appreciate your time on a Sunday morning, John. Congratulations on an outstanding career, best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much, guys. All the best.
Thanks.
Great talking.
Thanks so much, John.
There he is, John Doherty. Joe Cool.